Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, verse 11. And Jesus is here praying. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, like many of his generation, my father never spoke very much about his experiences in World War II. But my mother has told me quite a few things, and so I'm starting to be able to put together a kind of a picture of what my dad went through. My dad was about the same age as you young men in here today when World War II was raging, and he decided to go off to war. He was living in Tucson, Arizona, that desert. Probably because of that, he chose to join the Navy, and he went off to war. After a long ship ride over to the South Pacific, he ended up in the hot spots of Vella La Vella and New Caledonia. He was an aerographer's mate. It was scary. It was dangerous over there. Part of my dad's job as an assistant to a meteorologist in some instances was to be the first to land on certain beaches, and then he was supposed to dig in, turn around, and measure the ocean waves, and then call that information back to the fleet so the rest of the landing craft with all of the soldiers could make it to shore. It was dangerous. It was a scary place to be. There was one time that my dad was sitting on a beach watching a dogfight between two airplanes taking place out over the ocean, and he was sitting next to his buddy, and his buddy just slumped over, and Dad looked over to find out what had happened. Apparently, one of the shells or one of the bullets from that dogfight had gone for miles through the air and just came down and went straight through my dad's friend's heart. It was dangerous over there. There was one time when Dad was on board ship, and as a aerographer's mate, he was supposed to be out on deck finding out what was taking place during this typhoon, and a big wave hit the ship and it knocked him up against a bulkhead, and so he still has a scar on his head right here from that. Dad was on a jungle island, and he contracted malaria, and his fever would spike to 105 degrees and then plummet and then spike and then plummet. Dad is 6'2", and yet the doctor's report said that he got close to 110 pounds. He was so sick. And so they shipped him back to the States to die, to San Francisco. They gave him experimental drugs. It was dangerous over there. But there's one thought that really haunts me. It's not that war is dangerous. I know that. It's the response of my father's father, my grandfather. When Dad was going off to war, Grandpa simply put his son, my dad, on a troop train headed towards San Francisco and said goodbye. That was it. He didn't say anything else. I mean, couldn't he have said something else? Couldn't he have done something else? He simply said goodbye. Maybe he wasn't aware of the dangers of that war. Or maybe if he was aware, he simply decided there was nothing he could do about it. So Grandpa just said goodbye. Now, in our text this morning, the risen Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, is preparing to return to heaven and to say goodbye to the disciples. He prays to God the Father, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. It wasn't simply saying goodbye to the disciples. Jesus responded in a much different fashion than did my grandpa. My grandpa may not have even been aware that Dad was going to be in so much danger, but Jesus knew, and so he fervently prayed, O Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Up to this time, Jesus had been living with his disciples for over 3 years. He had been leading them. He had been guiding them. He had been protecting them. But now he was leaving. And it's a scary world out there for them. It's a dangerous world. He's talking about this world in which we live. Maybe unlike my grandpa, who wasn't perhaps really aware of the dangers of the world, Jesus Christ was absolutely aware of the dangers of the world. You see, Jesus was a veteran of those foreign wars, the wars of this world, the wars being waged against him by the devil and by the world. Even in his own flesh, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet he was without sin. Sin, the devil, the world surrounded Jesus on all fronts. There were the tempters and the seducers and the insurrectionists. There were the deniers. There were the inciters. And they were all after him. Often he would go day and night and day and night without sleep. He was hungry. You might say his powers were down, and they were waiting. The enemies were waiting for him to make one spiritual slip, and then they would have him, and then they would bring him down. Oh, yes. Jesus knew that this world is a dangerous place for us spiritually. But Jesus not only knew this, he did something about it. He didn't wave goodbye and that's it. He prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." To those in harm's way, protect them, Holy Father. Usually Jesus referred to his Father as Father, but here he calls him Holy Father. In other words, with all of the reverence due to the Almighty God, he is calling upon his name and his Father's name to deliver and keep safe those in harm's way. Protect them by the power of your name. God's name is everything that we can know about him, if you think about it. It includes his actions of saving us. We pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And if you think about it, Jesus has done just that. He has delivered us from evil. It's like a soldier or a sailor who is willing to throw himself between us and eternal damnation, which is headed toward us because of our own sins. That's exactly what he did. And he took the punishment, and he took the death, which was intended for us. He earned the ultimate medal of honor, you might say, posthumously, but now he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. He's praying to the Father by everything that he is, that we might be delivered. He has given us a way of being safe, even in harm's way, and that is his word. Those are his sacraments. That's the protection from this evil world. And he prays that we might be one, even as he and the Father are one. Not in some sort of weird ecumenical way, but rather in true unity of the faith. Like Christian soldiers, we have comrades, we have allies, we have friends, we have those with whom we can support and bolster the faith of all of us. It's a dangerous world out there, but thanks be to God, Jesus Christ suffered and died for us, and now has called upon the power of heaven itself to keep us strong and steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. And so our prayer today is really a very simple prayer. It goes like this: thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for praying for us. Amen. Please rise for the hymn. now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Depart in peace.